Hey everyone, I'm Swati Rawat and welcome to the Visionary Podcast, where I talk to visionary Indian women with inspiring, intriguing and aspirational stories. In this episode, our guest is Ibani Tiwari, chef and co-owner of Curry Appla, a young Indian restaurant based in Mumbai, which is inspired by the flavors of the Deccan Coast. Ibani founded Curry Appla with her husband, where they channel the flavors of their childhood onto their succinctly curated menu. Tune in as Ibani narrates her journey of being a chef and shares her story of crafting a culinary experience at Curry Appla.
Basically, I am from Bombay only, born and raised, and I'm from a mixed background. So my dad's side of the family is from UP and my mom's side of the family is from Maharashtra and the border of Karnataka and Goa. So we grew up eating a lot of mixed up food at home and all very tasty. And then the extended family was also like, you know, big Indian family. Everybody's married into different communities. So we had a lot of nice food growing up at home.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I was one of those kids who very early on knew I had to do something, like knew what I wanted to do, or at least knew what field. So my options were very clear. I wanted to do something with food, but either like as a chef, like I finally did, or into like writing. But I felt like I liked the execution part of it more. So I went with this route. Yeah, it was very simple for me because, you know, even it was very strange. My parents used to find it really odd because I was the only kid who used to sit and watch Travel and Living. And yeah, man, my mom was very worried because my idea of like break time would be like watching Nigella Lawson.
Wow.
Or yeah, like, so I always wanted to get into it. There were no two questions. It took a lot of convincing when I told them that I wanted to do this because, you know, first of all, it's an exhausting job. It's a very difficult field to survive. And especially when you're a female, it's even more because, you know, I'm an only child. So my parents were all the more cautious. My dad would wait up for me to come home from work, whatever time it was.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't sleep until I get home. And I think that resonates with a lot of women in this industry because, you know, when I was working with Taj also, and when I interned with them, we used to get a drop at home at night.
Yeah.
And there were so many of us in those, like, you know, in those waiting lists to go home at night.
Yeah.
And we would all be getting calls from home. It was so funny because everybody's families would be like, where have you reached? How long will you take? Where will you, what time will you be home?
Yeah.
So I think it's a very common sentiment that most parents have when, you know, you get into this industry. And to be honest, I think you have to really, really like what you do to give it so much time, because this is not one of those things where, you know, you work really hard the first few years and then you're like set, because it's like after so many years we're still working so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something you have to be really passionate about to survive, I think.
Yeah. And Ibani, just to set the context for the audience, can you tell us, like, what is it that you're doing? Like, what is it that you do? And before starting Curry Appla, what is it that you were doing?
So I'll start from like where I studied. I did my hotel management from IHM Mumbai. And then I did a 1 year course at Le Cordon Bleu in London. And I did a double diploma in cuisine and pastry.
Okay.
And then I came back and I was working. I started my career actually working at Bastion in 2016 when they had opened.
Oh, nice.
And so I was part of the team that time and I trained intensively with Chef Kelvin and Chef Boo. Got a lot of experience working with them. Learned so much. And then I went and did another stint at the Taj for almost a year. And then I went back to Chef Boo when he opened Dirty Buns in Lower Parel, and then also when he was back with Bastion, and I was doing R&D for him at that point of time.
Okay.
And then the lockdown happened, so everybody was just very unsure about our jobs in this industry. So I was at home and I started doing a little bit of baking and selling from home, which did really well. Although I never actually worked in pastry or in bakery.
Okay.
And I just decided to do it because I was going mad sitting at home, to be honest. Yeah. And so I decided to do that. It worked really well. And I mean, I say I decided, but it took a lot of like convincing that Matthew did that time. And he was, I mean, we weren't married. We were actually supposed to get married. And then the lockdown hit and
yeah.
our wedding got postponed indefinitely and all that nonsense. It was a crazy time. So he was like, you need to keep yourself occupied. So you need to do something. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So he suggested do this. So I did that. And then that worked well. And then after we got married, I moved to Gurgaon where he was working.
Right.
And I was freelancing there. I used to do some consulting gigs and I was also baking.
Hmm.
So that's what I've been doing. And then last year we moved back to Bombay because we wanted to start something of our own and we wanted to be in one base city for like either our parents have to be.
Yeah.
So we moved back to Bombay because he'd also worked in Bombay and he like had some kind of, it was a familiar city for him as well.
Yeah.
And then we decided to start something and we worked on it for a few months, looked for a place and finally ended up starting Kariapla last October.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been so far.
And I'm guessing your husband is also a chef?
Yes, he is. He's actually got a lot more experience than me. We also met through work.
Oh, nice.
And when I was interning at the Taj Lands End in Bandra, he was working there. So that's where I met him.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot more experience than me. And we decided to do this together because it kind of brings food from both our homes and our backgrounds.
Yeah.
And it's just that, yeah.
I mean, that's something that I really want to know more about because when I came to your food joint, I had no idea about the cuisine I'm going to get. And the food I had at your place was just absolutely fantastic. I was so unique to kind of experience that blend. I come from Delhi. I've moved to Bombay recently and I never had anything like that ever in my life. And even the quality of food was so good. And I saw you kind of being hands-on with everything that was being made at the place and also being served. So can you tell me more about the inspiration behind the cuisine and why did you zero in on this particular concept when you wanted to start your own space?
So it's just food from our homes and stuff we've grown up eating. So it's something that, you know, a family friend has served us when we visited their house and we've really liked it and we've tried to like zhuzh it up in our own way.
Yeah.
And we've just taken like comforting familiar flavors and, you know, sort of, I don't want to say elevated and modernized, but we've just made it like something you'd, like that'll remind you of something you've eaten at somebody's house.
Yeah.
But it's not at their house. It's at a restaurant and okay, maybe it's slightly better and plated nicer and you know, it's maybe it's also with an unconventional accompaniment, let's say that. Like the sukha chicken that we serve at the restaurant. That's a very classic. The sukha chicken we didn't muck about with. That is the way it is supposed to be. Made in ghee and with all the masalas. Only thing we did is we tuned the spice down a little bit because everybody can't do the Mangalorean level of spice.
Right.
And we decided instead of serving it with, you know, they don't really serve it with a bhakri.
Yeah.
And we decided to go like one level up and serve it with a bhakri that's made with coconut milk and rice flour.
Right.
So what we've basically done is just maybe change the things you eat it with or, you know, just change the presentation a bit so that
and add a twist
it reminds you of the, it reminds you of the same thing, but it's really not the same thing.
Right.
And it's an idea that we've taken in and turned into something like, I'm not sure if you remember the banana cake with the filter coffee ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is actually one of our best-selling desserts because people don't understand. Like, they're little confused about it. They're like, why are you serving bananas with filter coffee? That doesn't make sense.
I was equally confused when I had that.
Yeah.
I never experienced anything like that.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, in like down south, they'll have like one of those elaichi bananas are there with every meal.
Yeah.
They don't, like, if there's no dessert and all, there is always one banana, like with your breakfast, with your lunch, with your dinner. Yeah. It's just there. And they take it like a notch higher in Kerala, and they do coffee at railway stations with, right, you know, banana fritters. So that was something that Matthew used to actually eat when they used to travel by train a lot. Right. Bachpan mein.
Right.
And see, now that's the same thing, that's the idea. But then we just decided to do a cake version because cake's always nicer.
Yeah.
A filter coffee ice cream, because who'll think of a filter coffee ice cream? Like, they'll think of, you know, a glass of filter coffee.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Hot and piping. But right, this is like a nice, you've reversed it. You've done the banana cake warm and you've done the coffee cold.
Right.
So
right,
it's just our take on it.
Right. And what's also interesting, what at least I found interesting about your menu in particular, was that it was limited and at the same time felt very curated. Because we are more often than not used to, you know, having like 2-3 pages of menu and choosing from that. And I saw your menu and I was like, okay. It felt very much like you had put a lot of thought behind what you're serving, how you're serving, and also within appetizers and main course, what is it that you will serve people?
Yeah, so, you know, actually that we get, that's a very mixed response we get. We get a lot of people who come and say there are no options for people to eat. Then some people say, oh, we love that. We don't have to think so much about what to order. We know exactly what we want.
Yeah.
It's you get both sides. I mean, honestly, it's like, I mean, after they eat the food, they're like totally happy about it. So that's not an issue. But
yeah,
people are very apprehensive about why there are not too many options.
But is there a particular reason why you did it that way?
Because of the same reason that we felt like, why do you want to have a 50-page menu and, you know, have so many options?
Right.
And maybe like 40 of them will be like awesome and I don't know, like maybe the others might not be as good. Like, I don't want people to feel that way, that, you know, we had 5 things, but usme se 3 achha tha.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, we'd rather have them like order 5 things and say, oh, everything was great, but we loved this the most. You know, and I mean, I don't know. It's something we're trying out. You know, actually, ever since you visited, I think we've changed our menu and added rice finally, because we got a lot of stuff about, y'all don't have rice. How can you not have rice? It's Indian food. So we did add rice to the menu finally. And
so you're still, I'm guessing, adding and experimenting based on the feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the way to go, because, you know, people love the food, they come back, but then after 3 visits, what do you do?
Mm.
Like, they want to eat something different, no? So
yeah,
we have to keep adapting. And also it's a fun way for us to be interested, for the team to be interested. We encourage them to come in and try out more stuff. Like, we don't have any issues, because that is something I learned with Chef Kelvin and Boo, because they were so into trying out new things every single week.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of trying and testing of recipes we got to do, nobody lets you do that. So I like keeping the same kind of pattern at our workplaces, because otherwise even the staff will be like, why is this so repetitive? We're not doing anything new.
Mm.
Like, it should be a place where they also get to learn and like work with things they've not worked with before, because everybody doesn't have the same kind of food at home. Like, everybody comes from different backgrounds. Some people are vegetarian. They don't even know how this is supposed to be cooked.
Right, right.
You know, so I think it's also a great educational thing. And it's just interesting for everybody. And, you know, they'll come in with one recipe they've seen on Instagram and they'll say, what if we do something like this? You know, I want to try something like this. And we're like, yeah, make it. I mean, we're always ready to eat more food. So
right.
We're like, okay, make that it, we eat helps. It, no problem.
Yeah.
So we're very enthu about anybody trying and testing anything. Somebody wants to make something their grandmom's made. Okay, come make it, no problem. We absolutely love it.
And in terms of, you know, I am a complete noob here. So I would like to know more that in terms of the menu and the food that you serve, is there, if you have to put a pin on the region from where this food is coming from and this cuisine is coming from, have you like, is there any particular region that you guys kind of keep your food focus on? Or you're open to kind of making and trying out thing from like Pan India in terms of inspiration and what you're serving to the consumers?
So I wouldn't say Pan India because honestly, we're not very, we ourselves don't know much about a lot of the food that we haven't grown up eating. You know, it's very simple, like especially foods from like the north or the east for that matter, like not Bengal, but you know, further east is like stuff we're not very, we don't know.
Right.
So we don't want to, I would rather know about it and learn about it and then decide to, put it onto a menu. So what we're doing right now is stuff we're comfortable with. And so basically it's Maharashtra. I'll just give you a lowdown of the states. It's basically entire Deccan Coast. It's basically the entire Deccan Coast. So there's Maharashtra, Goa, Karnataka, Kerala. And then we've also got some stuff from Tamil Nadu.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we've got little bits and pieces from everywhere.
Nice, nice. And I guess that also reflects on your menu, especially when you read it. Someone from North, that menu looks very enticing, but also at the same time, alien and very exciting to kind of try out. If you're adding more things to your menu, I do want to visit again and have more of it.
we keep adding. And if, you know, the way we do it is that we'll try something as a special first. We'll run it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, tell people when they're ordering their menu, ordering their meal, we'll tell them, you know, we're running this also as a special.
Right.
And we'll see the response. And if it does really well, we'll add it to the menu. So that's what we did, because we, for Christmas, we tried a special menu. And the dishes that were like big hits on that is what we finally put on our next print. And they're still doing very well. So that is also a way of testing the market for us.
Right. And you know what, Ebani? I also want to understand from you, because you have started your own food space, in terms of what are the learnings that you at least had for yourself in the initial few months of you starting Curry Apla, and also any advice you'd like to share with the budding chefs and also entrepreneurs who want to start their own food joints?
So, you know, the thing is, no, Swati, when we work in kitchens, we're like a horse with blinders on, okay? We're only working in the kitchen. We don't know anything that's going on outside. And we've just been focused on that one place for so many years that, you know, something as simple as operating a card swipe machine, I didn't know how to do. Like, I know it's very embarrassing to say it out loud, but it's true. Because you've never had to do it at work before.
Right.
So there are so many, it's been a complete learning experience for both of us. Like right from planning the kitchen, like, you know, when you do it on paper, now the kitchen plan, you're like, oh yeah, this sounds great. This will be awesome. And then when everything comes out of that truck and it's being loaded in, you realize, oh, this is a problem. Oh, that is a problem. We forgot about this. So it's one big learning curve. Every single area has a lot of learning. And it's exciting, but it's also a lot of work. Like, I don't think anybody can prepare you for how much work there is.
Yeah.
Even when you're starting off as an entrepreneur, like, obviously, they're all startups and all new businesses have the same amount of hard work.
Yeah.
But this was completely new to us. But I mean, it's okay. It's a journey. So you have to do it. And it's better you learn it now, you know, than later.
At least from my point of view, it looks very intense. I mean, food, when you eat it, you know, as a customer, when you have a nice plate served to you, you eat it and you finish in like, what, 10, 15 minutes. But the entire effort that goes behind preparing that meal, getting the right material, like all of it feels very, very intense, especially because yours is also a very interesting concept. The sitting that you have, you can literally see
the open kitchen. Yeah,
it's the open kitchen. You can see everything. So you can see everyone being super focused and it's so intense. You know that there is almost like art happening and you can't disturb the artist at all because something will go off.
Yeah, no, that is also something we thought, as you know, we were very idealistic in the beginning. We were like, oh, let's do an open kitchen and it'll be awesome. We'll get to talk to people. And you know, now in retrospect, like we're already thinking next place, we'll only do part of it open. The other
what are you
part,
saying?
Will not
no.
Keep open.
No, your open kitchen is so
no,
awesome.
It's no, we'll do it. But you have to have a part of the kitchen where you can do prep behind the scenes, you know, Swati, because the problem here is it's because everything is open, there's a lot of limitations to what we like, something as simple as chopping onions, we can't do when there are guests sitting in the front because their eyes start watering.
And you probably can't even cuss in front of kids.
Oh yeah, that is though not an option only. So, I mean, my bigger issue is that we don't have place to like prep when there are people sitting in front of us because we're such a small setup. So now we have to like plan our work in such a way that before 11 o'clock, all the onion chopping is done.
Oh,
so that, so that, you know, nobody's eyes water, they're sitting inside the kitchen.
Right.
But it's okay. It's all, as I said, it's all like a learning. So everything you know now, you know how to do it better.
Ebani, it was great chatting with you. I just want to finish this conversation by asking you one last question, which is, what are your plans with Curry Appla? I mean, are you planning to grow the brand? Grow the franchise, what is happening? And also, can you let the audience know where exactly can they find the food from Curry Appla? Is it available on any of the food delivery apps? And where exactly is your joint located?
So, we definitely, I mean, we're only 4 or 5 months in now. And we already have plans of what we want to do when we move to a bigger place. So now that is the next step.
Okay.
We would love to move to a bigger place and, you know, maybe we've been told our food is very, it would be a nice pairing with, you know, a glass of beer or something like that. So we would like to move to a bigger place where we could have that option, you know, of serving a nice craft brew or something like that.
Yeah.
And for now, we are available on Swiggy for deliveries. And for people looking for us, we're on Kharpali Road in Khar West, and they can also check us out on Instagram. We've got a pretty active Instagram page.
Yeah, your Instagram page is pretty good. I'm also going to hyperlink it to this episode description.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And that is where we are, and y'all can come in and say hi to us anytime. We're always there.
And what are your timings for the audience? Can you let them know?
So we're closed on Mondays. Tuesday, we open for dinner from 6 to 11. And Wednesdays to Sundays, we're open from 12 noon to 11 at night.
If you'd like to know more about Curry Appla, you can visit their Instagram page. You'll find the link in the episode description. Thanks for listening in, and please subscribe to the show to catch the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram to stay in touch and get all the updates. Our Instagram handle is vision.nari. That's vision.nari. If you know a visionary that I should feature on this podcast, write to me at thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. That's thevisionnari podcast@gmail.com. This podcast is produced by Launchora, a storytelling and creative learning platform. Theme music is created by Diala Swain. She's a uniquely talented music producer from New Zealand. Do check out her music on SoundCloud or follow the link in the description. I'll see you guys soon with a new visionary. Have a great day.